Lord, thank you for your grace to us. Lord, that we do lift our eyes to you, Lord. That's where any real help is ever going to come from, Lord. Thank you for people. Thank you for their kindness and their friendship. But Lord, even they are instruments in your hands to bless us as well, Lord, truly. So we want to say thank you for your word. It's the truth, the living God's word. And we pray, Lord, you'll help us by your Holy Spirit to grasp something of what Paul was talking about, Lord, when he wrote to these Philippian Christians so many, many years ago. Lord, thank you, your Holy Spirit saw fit that it would be preserved in order to be a blessing to us too. Help us, Lord, give us light and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 3, finally, my brothers. Now, you know what finally means? It doesn't mean anything. That's what it means. It's really getting towards the end. That's what it means. Getting towards the end. It doesn't mean to say, because there's more finalies come along in other letters later as well. Yeah. Anyway, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. There you go. When there's nothing else you can rejoice in, the Lord's the one you can go to. Rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. That's a great encouragement for preachers, I must admit that. Yeah. To repeat yourself is quite good, yes? Paul is saying is that it's a safeguard for you. Do you know why? Because we forget, I'm afraid. It's worth to be brought back to the good old basics, yeah? So he's doing that to us now. Now, warnings. Watch out for those dogs. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean dogs.
Yeah, no,
it means people dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he describes them as these men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Now, that's a clue as to who they were. They were a group of Jewish Christians, we might call them, but they were going around, even after what had happened at the Council of Jerusalem, saying, you don't need to become a Jew in order to be saved. Mm-hmm. Well, this lot said they did. And so they were going around persuading Gentiles that they ought to get circumcised in order to be a proper Christian. Mm-hmm. And Paul's warning, that's not going to do them any good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God and who glory in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. Mm-hmm. So he's talking to these Philippians who are Gentiles. Yes. And he said, it's we who are the real Jews, that's the term he's used, when it's called circumcision. He means we're the real Jews. And of course, what he's getting at is, it doesn't mean that they're physical Jewish people, nothing wrong with that, yeah? But he's saying is that to be a son of Abraham, a real genuine son of Abraham, is not about your physical descent, it's about your faith.
Yeah.
Who do you believe? Do you believe the God of Abraham? And trusting in him, that's what it's about. And so he's saying is these who are genuine believers are part of the kingdom of God. That's really what he's getting at. He says, and we worship by the Spirit of God, as opposed to going through the motions.
Yes.
Yeah? God helps us to worship him as that his Spirit works in our spirits. Yeah. And that's the kind of worshippers God wants. Jesus told that to the Samaritan woman, remember?
Yeah.
At the well. God's looking for worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. So we worship God by the Spirit who glory in Christ Jesus. And when he says glory, and you think, what he's really getting at, he's saying this, that Jesus is the only one that we're trusting in. He's the one that's done the job. We believe in him. He's the one that saves us.
Yeah.
So we're glorying in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. That's what, you know that Christ means Messiah, by the way.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. And who put no confidence in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this term flesh is Paul's sort of technical term. It means human ability. You know, just limited ordinary human ability. We don't put any confidence in that. And he's going to give us some examples. As he says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, these dogs, as he calls them, were coming along and saying, we are proper believers, we've got the pedigree and all that stuff to go with it, and so if you want to be a proper Christian, join our club, really, is where they're getting at. And Paul says, I've got all the club cards you could ever want. And I don't count it as very much importance, really. And so he goes and describes himself. I've got plenty of reasons for such confidence. Not that he has any confidence in it, as you will see. Yeah, but he says this. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting how God chose this man, who was at the extreme end, in order that anybody else who comes along can beat him at being a good Pharisee, you know, the kosher type chap.
Yeah.
And he says this. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That's the Jewish practice. I was born a little Jew. I've been a Jew all my days. That's one, right? So I was circumcised on the eighth day. Why on the eighth day?
The time when they came in.
Well, you know that, but why on the eighth day? Because it's the start of a new week, I suppose. I mean, my guess for him. But because God said so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't always know why God does things. He just says, do it, and they did it. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, just as you say, now we know there's a good reason for the eighth day.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you, as a nurse?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The blood clotting factor in the bloodstream of the baby is highest on the eighth day. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Of course Moses knew that, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. But I know somebody who did.
Yeah.
The Lord, yes. Now, on the eighth day, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. Got the good pedigree?
No. No.
Sorry?
We weren't taught that.
You weren't taught that. Ah, well, it's a fact.
I don't know everything.
Well, I know. Neither do I.
There's a lot of babies
are
circumcised these days.
Alright. Anyway, here we are. Let me get to where we are. He's a Hebrew, what is it? No, he's of the people of Israel. So he can trace his ancestry right back, as he says, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he could have been very proud, and he was at one time, of being of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
Because the tribe of Benjamin were the people who had the first king. Saul was a Benjamite, yes?
Yeah.
And the tribe of Benjamin stayed faithful to God when all the other, with Judah, when all the other 10 tribes cleared off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a proper Jew. That's what he's getting at, yeah? If you want to boast, I'll do the boasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the tribe of Benjamin and a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's really saying this, I'm the tops. Oh, yeah, in that sense, yeah? And then, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. And what was it for Pharisees? Pharisees were the sticklers for the minute details of the law.
Yeah.
Yes. Every jot and tittle they tried to keep. Yes. They were students of the Bible, the law, and they were keen. In fact, you could say the Pharisees were the keenest of the keen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, Jesus, when he talks to the Pharisees, you get the impression that the Pharisees aren't very good, are they?
No.
I mean, if you'd met a Pharisee, you'd have thought, wow, these are really spiritual people.
Mm.
Why did Jesus criticize them?
Because he knew they were
showing. It was outward. It was all show. Yeah. That's right. Jesus says, I know what your hearts are like.
Right.
Yeah? And it's not right with God. That's the problem. And one of the other things, the Pharisees, we can all become Pharisees, by the way, dear friends, very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. My daughter, just to share with you, my daughter was watching a video by a lady. This lady was a good Christian, young girl, became a Christian when she was young, and she says, I can tell you the day I became a Pharisee. Yeah? It was in Sunday school, and they said they'd have a prize for whoever got the top Bible readings and all that thing, so she was going to get tops, right? So she did. And whenever there was a prize going, she wanted it. And so she worked really hard, doing it all the time, in order to get the tops. That's a Pharisee attitude, because, you know, it's me doing it all the time. So achievers, that's what they are. And the day came when her daughter crashed. So there was some serious, I won't go into it now, but some serious problem with her daughter. And the time came when she thought, Lord, I can't do anything about this, can't handle it. It's up to you. Yeah. And that was the day that the Lord began to draw her back to trusting in him rather than doing her own thing. Yeah. And the interesting thing is her daughter, quite a while later, having started being turned around by the Lord, phoned her mum and says, Mum, I've got this big problem, what shall I do? And she was expecting her mum to say, well, you should do this, this, this and this.
Mm.
And mum says, you'll have to turn it over to the Lord, my love. And she says, I knew that day my mum had changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pharisee, Paul was the Pharisee, I do it my way, da-da-da-da-da, online. Yes, absolutely. Well, he says, I used to, it's not me now. As for zeal, persecuting the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If you want to show how keen somebody is, see what they do. Paul was really keen to prove that they were right.
Yeah.
And so the way to do that is get rid of the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So he persecuted the church. That was pretty high marks for him as well,
yeah?
And as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. What he means by that is, There are, I believe, some 600 laws in the Torah, and Paul could tick them off. Done. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. The problem with legalistic righteousness is its surface.
Yeah.
Jesus says, "You've not committed murder."
Yeah.
You tick that off. Yeah. Jesus says, no. Have you hated somebody in your heart? Have you thought evil about somebody else? You've just as good as killed them.
Yeah.
So you can tick it off. But legalistic righteousness, you can tick the box.
Yeah.
So that's Paul's list of how good he is, or was, as he puts it, yes?
Yeah.
Right. And so there he is saying, all these people come along saying they've got this, that and the other, they're all very confident. But I, this is me. But he says, verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And it was, in a sense, profit. He was in a respectable position. He was well thought of.
Yeah.
Highly regarded. Mm-hmm. I mean, he even got letters from the top brass, you know, the Sanhedrin, to go and catch a few more Christians.
Yeah.
So, it was all good stuff in a sense, but he says, I consider it a loss for the sake of Christ. And he did lose a lot in that sense, yeah? But what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And he's not sort of just using that as a poetic way of speaking.
Yeah.
Paul lost a lot when he became a Christian, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but outwardly speaking,
he
lost a lot. His reputation, his access to the high places of influence and everything else. We know he gained in the kingdom, of course,
but
you know, outwardly speaking, he lost.
Yeah.
Hand it all over and let God work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a dear, dear man of God many years ago, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Some of you might have heard of him. Long since gone now. A great man of God, great Bible teacher. And he was due to become the chief physician to the Queen, I believe. He was top-ranking doctor. Yeah. High profile in the line of, you know, going up the scale of things, and the Lord called him to be a minister in a little village in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
Mind you, there was a revival broke out there, so I mean, it was good going there. But anyway, God called him out of that to become a little unknown minister at the time in Wales. And someone came up to him some years later, and he says, "You gave up an awful lot to follow Jesus, didn't you?" His answer was, "I gave up nothing."
Good. Yeah.
I gave up nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Paul was ahead of Dr. Lloyd-Jones, but here we are. He says, "I consider it, I've lost everything for Jesus." And then he says this, "What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish."
Mm-hmm.
The word rubbish there. Some translations of garbage.
Yeah.
Yes. The message translation says dog dung.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word he's using.
Yeah,
he says it's that bad.
Yeah.
Complete rubbish. That's what all of that was so important in the world's eyes. Just don't count as anything. In fact, it's worse. It stinks. Yeah. I consider them all rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. See, that's what I want. I want to have Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, not the Messiah. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Saying, I don't want to have a tick list of saying I've done.
Yes.
Because the problem with that is, you might miss one or two.
Yeah.
And the ones you miss are going to catch up with you.
Yeah.
Yeah? In fact, you find out if you really know the Lord, you've probably messed up more than one or two.
Yeah.
There we are. But he says, I want to know that I want a righteousness that is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. It's God's righteousness in the sense that God declares you right, completely innocent, not guilty. That's what he wanted from God. God's righteousness on him, yeah? And that's what he's after. And you only get it in Jesus. You know this, don't you? It's basic stuff, but it's absolutely fundamental to being a Christian. It's not, let me spell it out this, it's not what you do, it's who you believe that gets you to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah? Doing's important, we're not denying that.
Yeah.
But what saves you is who saves you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, your faith won't save you.
No.
Faith is a gift from God. Your faith connects you to the Saviour. Mm-hmm. That's what. So faith is the means, but it's Jesus who saves us. Get that, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's not that I drum up a lot of faith. Oh, I believe. No, I don't work that way. Mm-hmm. It's even the faint hand on Jesus will save you. That's what matters. Yeah? So he says, I've discovered that's where my righteousness comes from. That's what I want.
To acknowledge our sin before we can do it.
Oh yes, oh, wow, there's a, yeah,
yeah, no,
yeah.
I mean, it's up to
you. It's an important thing to recognise with sinners, yes, yes. I want to know Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, I find that verse really, really challenging, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because this is the great Apostle Paul,
yeah,
who's led umpteen missions, been stoned, thrown out of the war, into the water, beaten up so many times, he's gone through everything for Jesus, and he's in prison now for Jesus, and he says, I want to know Christ. What on earth does that mean? He knows Jesus, of course he knows Jesus, but what it says to me is this, and it's a big, I can't, terrible challenge, isn't it? I don't think I know Jesus as well as I should. I think there's more to discover about Jesus that I've got than I've got a handle on. You know, remember, he's God. You can learn a lot about God and still get to the end of you before you've even started on him. I want to know Christ. And the word know isn't about getting an encyclopedic knowledge.
No.
It's not about head. It's the word to know is about relationship. I want a relationship with Jesus where I know him, I can talk to him, I can tell him about things that I could tell nobody else about. You know, that's what he's talking about. I want to know Jesus in that deep, deep way. Mm-hmm. And it's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm there. Well, I know I'm not. And Paul's going to say that about himself.
Well,
because,
we get there?
Yeah. And he said in Corinthians, he says, it's in chapter 13 about love never fails. And he says, now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, then he says, then I'll know fully, even as I am fully known. Yeah, I don't know fully yet.
No.
Well, we'll admit that, won't we? We don't know everything information wise, but we certainly don't know in relationship. There's more to discover of Jesus, I'm sure, as we go on. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's what Paul is saying. Yeah, I want to know Christ. That's his goal. I want to know Christ. That's one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the power of his resurrection. Yes. Because Jesus is alive in me, his resurrection power can begin to show itself in my life. That's what he's getting at.
Yeah?
And brothers and sisters, we need to grasp this, it's really important.
Yeah.
Did you know the risen Jesus lives in believers? That's you, if you believe in Jesus. The risen Jesus, the Jesus that can't be beaten by death, sin or anything. That's the Jesus that's in you who can help you have the victory in your life. You can't be a Christian without Christ. Get that, please?
Yeah.
You can't be a Christian without Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Beginning to experience and understand what he suffered in this world. Not that we're making atonement for our sins.
Yeah.
But you enter into the sorrow and the grief and the pain that Jesus experienced as he was seeking to minister to the broken and wicked world that he lived in. Yeah. So Paul wants to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings.
But Dennis, over, I know it's the gospel, really, but we can mention wherever he shows and he can speak to us through any scripture, can't he?
Well, Jesus prayed most of them all.
So he can show us in any part.
Yes, yeah. Oh, God reveals himself in many ways there. But there's something about the sufferings of Jesus where we begin to really feel his compassion, his pain over things that struck Jesus as important. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm saying a small level in a way. When Jesus saw the multitude out there, he says he looked at them and saw them as sheep without a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his heart went out to them, and I think that's what Paul's getting at. I want to feel how Jesus feels about things. That's the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. And that will involve pain at times. When you see the sadness and the brokenness and the tragedy that surrounds us. Yep. So, a fellowship of sharing in his sufferings and then this, becoming like him in his death. Now that's an important one as well. And let me just perhaps offer a few thoughts on that one. I've just said we have the risen Jesus living within us. Yeah? But we also have the crucified Jesus living within us. Yeah? And we are united to Jesus' death as much as to his life. And that's really important, that we're connected to Jesus' death means it kills your sin. If you want to know how to have victory over sin, you've got to die. That's what Jesus says, really, and Paul says it elsewhere as well. We die to ourselves in order to become alive to God. Now, the problem about dying to yourself is we're not very good at killing ourselves, are we? Yeah? What do you do? What do you do? Paul says in Romans, he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Yeah. Again, it's the God at work in us who enables us to demonstrate his living power in us. Yeah. We're instruments, but we're meant to be willing instruments. Yeah, don't be resisting God's work. So, becoming like him in his death, and just to say again, we don't save anybody by our suffering. Jesus saves us by his suffering. Yeah. Yeah. And so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's the goal, the resurrection from the dead, when all our problems are going to be a thing of the past. Oh Lord, come Lord Jesus. Eh? Yeah? However, in the meantime, he says, I want to attain somehow to the resurrection from the dead. Does that mean to say he's not sure?
No,
he's
not sure.
He's sure? Yeah. Well, what does he mean by somehow?
Somehow.
Somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead.
He
doesn't...
Sure that it's going to happen, but it doesn't
matter.
Yeah, it's a matter of faith, isn't
it? Well, yes, but I think Andy's got it here. Yeah. He doesn't know how he's going to get from A to B.
But he knows he has
B. Resurrection is where he's going.
Yeah.
A is where he is now. B is resurrection. I don't know how I'm going to get from A to B in terms of what's going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the somehow is just the uncertainty of the process, not the uncertainty of the destination.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Paul knows where he's going.
Yeah.
In fact, he says it in Timothy, doesn't he? I know who I've believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've entrusted to him till that day.
Yeah.
Now then, so that's Paul's, what he's saying, this is where I'm at. I want to know Jesus. That's my driving force. I want to be like him. And so verse 12 is the sort of counter to that, in a sense, and the balance of it. Not that I've already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How many leaders would admit that? Oh, yes. But Paul was a wise man. I'm not there yet. I'm still wearing L plates, really. Aren't we all?
Yes.
And I want to thank God. Yeah, I want to thank God for you people, just to say this. When I'm studying these passages and these books and things, I'm learning more as I go along, you know. I'm finding out more this year than I knew last year. And I've probably forgotten more as well, by the way, but you've got the idea that I'm discovering things. So we're all on the process, you know. And I remember as a young Christian, when the minister and a couple of the elders came to our house, came out for tea or something, and they were talking about this famous person and that famous person and quoting various verses from the Bible, and Jean and I looked at each other, what are they talking about? We don't know any of this stuff, you know. Well, I might be able to hold a conversation with them now, but, you know, we've grown. That's the idea. Okay. I want to know, but he says, I'm not already there yet, yeah. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's lovely. Two things there, really. He says, I'm reaching out to take hold of what Jesus has got for me, but interestingly, as I'm reaching out, is the bigger hand got me. If my hand's reaching out, but his hand's on me. Is that good, eh? That's God again, you know. We're active, but our activity comes from him working in us as well. So I'm reaching out, I'm pressing towards the goal. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, and that is to be like him. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So he's got a sober view of himself. Yes. Anybody think they're perfect here yet? Good, I'm glad to hear that, yes. Right. But, one thing I do, this is his focus, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. Yeah. Now, three things in that little bit there. Forgetting, straining, and aiming for the goal.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, forgetting.
Yeah.
Forgetting what is behind.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mustn't live your life on if only.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can. I mean, I used to, as a young lad, go over things that I'd said and done. I thought, I should have said this, should have said that, should have done something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waste of time. Mm-hmm. Total waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's no good. Forgetting what is behind. But of course, the things that we've done wrong, how do you forget them?
Well,
you bring them to Jesus for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when God forgets them, then you might as well try as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, that's just to say this though, there's a warning, don't sin. Because although it can be forgiven and forgotten, the marks can remain while you're in this world.
The results.
Yeah. The results, yeah. So, no premiums on sin. But forgetting what is behind, don't let it, don't let the past clog you up.
Yeah.
Well, every other day when we can be judged, sort of thing up there, you look at his book and say this, that. I mean, it involves little people, David and Samson, you know, they're a lot of wrong things, don't they?
They did. Yeah. But let me give you an example. That's right. When I, yes, they're in the book. The records of their mistakes are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Read Hebrews chapter 11, where it's the portrait gallery of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
There's Abraham, Noah, and Moses and all that. The portraits of the greats. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It was all who lived by faith,
yeah.
Did things by faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you read them, how many mistakes do you notice in their life story in the portraits?
None.
None. And when we get to Father standing before the throne, in Jesus, you're clean. Yeah? Yeah? The judgment for you, brother, as we stand in Jesus, is for rewards. Yeah? It's not for condemnation. Yeah? Yes. Let's count the judges. You know, you have one of these in the village vegetable competition.
Yeah,
prize marrow type competition. Right. So you've got your various marrows in different sizes and shapes and things like this. And the judge comes out and he doesn't say rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. He says first, second, third. Yeah, there are degrees of rewards. Right? He's not condemning.
Yeah.
He's offering rewards, and that's the judgment for believers.
Yeah.
Forgetting what is behind because it's been dealt with. And if it's dealt with, let it go. And of course, I've got news for you. The devil will remind you. Right, so what you need to do is tell him to clear off. There's a lovely story about Martin Luther, the reformer. Martin Luther said, I've had temptations that would kill most men. He says, and Paul had temptations that would have killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus had temptations that would have killed all of us.
Yeah.
But he said, he felt as if one day the devil had come into his study and started accusing him of all the things that he knew he'd done wrong or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil put this list in front of him, mm-hmm. and he said to Luther, being the strong-minded chap, says, is that all? And the devil says, well, I'll go away and find some more then. So he came off and put a few more on the list. And then he came back and said, is that all? He says, well, that's all I can find at the moment. And he said, Luther says, I took out my pen and wrote, cancelled in the blood of Christ. That's an understanding of justification by faith.
Yeah.
I am free through Jesus.
Yeah.
He got it. And that's what's kicked off the Reformation, of course. Now, where are we? Not that I've already obtained it. So I'm forgetting what is behind, and what else then now? Press on to take hold. No, what's my place now? I'm straining towards what is ahead. Right, so what's he doing? What's straining? Just what does straining sound like to you? That sounds like effort. Yes. There is effort required. Yes. Perspiration and inspiration go together. Did you know that? Yeah. Effort's needed, brothers and sisters, but when all we're working away as best we can, just depend on the Lord's strength, you know, all the same. But sometimes it just feels like effort, doesn't it?
Marathon.
Yeah, it's a marathon, this one, yes. Yeah. I press on towards the goal. It's a race, he's using the racing image, and it is a marathon. I've got news for you. The Christian life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's a long one.
Uh-huh.
If you start early, it is anyway. Fortunately, along the road, there are occasions when the sun comes out and the light is shining on you and all of that, as well as the clouds and the rain and all the problems. Yeah?
Yeah?
Right, so we're running the race. I press on, I press on, I strain towards. Where am I straining for? I strain towards what is ahead. So I'm not looking backwards. A great warning to anybody who's doing a race, when you're running, look forwards. Because you might crash into something if you don't. Yeah, so we're looking ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a prize. He's running to win the prize, yes. And that's to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are rewards for Paul as well, yeah. But that's what he's doing. I want to go towards Jesus. Isn't that interesting that Jesus... This is because of the work of this Holy Spirit. Jesus is in you, and yet Jesus is the finishing post. And he's the reward at the end.
Yeah, you've got him.
We've got him, and he's there as well. And the same idea comes up in the letter to the Hebrews. It talks about the high priest offering a sacrifice. Well, the high priest offers the sacrifice, but Jesus is the high priest, and he himself is a sacrifice as well.
Yeah.
Jesus can do it. High priest can't. Yeah. And here he can be with you, give you the strength, and be the finishing line as well. I'm heading towards Jesus. All of us, verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Right? Are we? We're all agreed, are we?
Yeah.
So you're mature people. That's good to know. Very good. Right. And if some of you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Isn't that lovely? It's gracious, really.
Yeah.
He's saying some people have different views and different ways of thinking, but God will clear it up in the end. Yeah, trust him.
Yeah.
Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And I think he's writing to these Philippians again because they were starting to say, you know, I prefer this gang, and they were quarrelling. They were possibly having a few splits if they're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, look, get together on this one. Yeah, we ought to be mature about this. Let's live up to where we've got to and stop criticising others and get on with living for Jesus. Join with others. That's the word for him. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Now, how many of us would dare to say that? Eh?
Say what?
Join with others in following my example.
Oh.
Yeah, normally what people say, don't do what I do, do what I say.
Yeah,
Paul is saying is do what I do, as well as what I say.
Mm.
And the reason he did that was that by the grace of God he sought to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose we could say that. You know, when you're doing it right, you can say to somebody, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Join with others following my example. And, he says, some others besides, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. You can spot them. How do you spot one of these people that Paul's talking about? Gut reaction, yes, well, yes, you can sense it, the Spirit might guide you in that one, but I think there's some other signs as well. You can believe what they say.
You see what they do.
Yes, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Right, that's the idea, that integrity is where it's at. And godliness, people that aren't full of themselves, but full of the grace of
Christ.
Yeah, full of Christ, yeah. So he says, follow those kind of people. Yeah. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which was a book that led me to the Lord, there's a Christian is told, he's on the journey to heaven, the celestial city, and he's told the type of person that should be his guide. Yeah? Stands out a mile to my memory as a young lad reading that, yeah? Young man. Yeah. And he says, there he is, he says he's got the Word of God in his hand, the Spirit of God in his heart. I'm sort of saying, look around. The Word of God in his, and he's back towards the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and his face towards the glory. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, that's the chap who's going to be your guide.
Mm-hmm.
Go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got the best of books in his hand, and he's back towards the world. Go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's saying, if those are the kind of people you want to be following.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, where have we got to? Ah,
that's
yes.
That's like what you actually... leave the world, you know, your friends are entirely
different, aren't they? Yeah. Because
you've left them.
It changes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now again say him with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Sad. And he says it with tears. Paul, Paul was a strong man, but he's a guy that could cry.
Emotions.
You know, he was emotional. He got emotions. He wasn't British.
No.
I do, of course.
I don't know what a lot of
people. Well, that's true. I mean, we wasn't Yorkshire then. That's all right, yeah. I know in Yorkshire we don't cry in Yorkshire. No,
I don't cry.
Right. Yeah. But Do you know, with my dad, I saw him cry once. That was all. And he had some pretty hard times on him. Yeah. But we don't cry. Don't wear your hearts on your sleeves. You know. Yeah, doesn't do any good, mind you. There we are. Paul could cry about things, and he says, "I'm weeping about this." He says, "Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ."
Yeah, that's right.
Many live as the enemies of the cross of Christ. And what he means by that is, the enemy of the cross of Christ is, they don't want to have the cross in the message that they say.
Yeah.
Death to sin. God's judgment on wickedness and evil, that you are a sinner that needs to be saved, don't want that. Cut the cross out. And that's what Jesus said to Simon Peter. When Simon Peter, Jesus had told him, I'm going up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to rise again on the third day. Peter took hold of Jesus, strong lad was Peter, took hold of Jesus and says, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. What Peter is saying is, we can skip the cross, we'll go for the glory. He said, there is no glory without the cross. They live as enemies of the cross of Christ. There is no substitute for the cross in order to get to the glory. And Paul knows that, and some people are trying to evade that. That's the word, their destiny is destruction. That's terrible, isn't it? That's where they're heading for. Their God is their stomach. What does he mean by that? Does it mean he likes French fries? Or whatever, as the case may be. Their God is their stomach. He's using just ordinary homely language in a way. What does he mean? It's pleasure, experience, that self-centered thing, yes. Self-centered, living for the pleasure, living for the now. Experience. And all that. And that's the way our society is today. I mean, all the adverts are aiming at that. I mean, I see all these, I look at them sometimes, the new and improved versions, And I think back 2 years before, the new and improved was the thing they're just getting rid of and saying is rubbish now. There we are, dear friends. Their God is their stomach. They're living for pleasure. That's the word. And does God want you to have any pleasure?
Yes.
But he wants you to be holy first. It's not about, it's not so much about happiness as being right with him. Because the point being is, happiness comes from being right with him. If you chase after happiness, you'll never catch it. But if you chase after the Lord, you find happiness joins you. Exactly. God is their stomach, right? Their glory is in their shame. Isn't that interesting? I see this. You look at things. People are boasting about the stuff that they've done and they're involved in. They're glorying in it, and it is appalling. Terrible stuff. I mean, all these porn people for a start. Glorying their shame, and then the violent ones. They think it's macho to go around beating people up and stuff, doing a bit. That's glorying in shame. It will be a shame to them as well, of course. Their mind is on earthly things. That's all it is. But our citizenship is in heaven. Where do you belong?
Heaven.
That's where your citizenship is. You may have a passport and it says British or whatever it is. But I've got a passport that says heaven citizen. And we eagerly await a saviour from there. He's coming back. Did you know that?
Yes.
We're waiting for Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls him by his full title. The Lord, because he's God, Jesus, because he's man, Christ, because he's the appointed Messiah and Saviour. Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, so Jesus has got all the power, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. How about that?
Wow.
You're going to be transformed. Room for improvement. You won't recognise your little old self. Oh, I'm telling you. You're going to be transformed. But, and this is one of the great truths, I mean, compared to, for example, the teaching by Hindus are that you all eventually absorb into the blob. Yeah? You become just part of the great cosmos or whatever it is. Yeah. Now, that's completely contrary to what the Bible teaches, of course.
Yeah.
It's saying is that you will be you, the real you, the recognisable you,
yeah,
but the brand new you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What God's made you, He tends to keep.
What we were meant to be.
Is that right? Yes. So, that will transform our lowly bodies. Our bodies? Well, yes. They keep us humble. I remember reading Spurgeon that our bodies keep us humble. That's about the best thing they can do for us, just about. Yeah? Our lowly bodies. Well, but even so, I've just got to say this, you know. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
David says that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the more we discover about this stuff that we've got, it's astounding.
Mm.
It is, isn't it?
Well, yeah. We've been watching this
surgeon
move quite a bit, but when you look at them going into the brain and moving
the... Yeah. I mean, we're talking about serious design and engineering.
Right.
And I mean, it makes me laugh when they talk about this evolved, that evolved,
yeah,
all that.
I know.
Utter rubbish.
Yeah.
Yes. So, here we are. Beautiful, beautiful creations. Are you?
Yeah.
You are! Yes.
I'll tell you what, sometimes when you just sit down and you get so amazed at the things that
God
has made.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Even looking at the birds, you see
things
that you think only God can do.
Yeah, I look at the birds and I envy them in a sense.
Yeah.
I think, well, Lord, I'm going to fly one day.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're there on the ground one minute and
yeah,
in the air.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
I tried that, wouldn't get very far. But anyway, there we are. He's going to transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. And we've got some hints of what His body was like after the resurrection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. He ascended into the skies without any rocket power.
No.
Yeah. He entered into rooms without doors being opened.
Straight through the wall.
Yeah. Right. And yet, He's as real as any of us.
Yeah.
Amazing. And our body's going to be like that. Like His, yeah? Therefore, the last verse of chapter, well, first verse of chapter 4 of the passage, therefore means it's connected to the bit beforehand. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Well, can you feel His embrace in that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My dear brothers, there are obviously sisters as well in there, but who I love and long for, I want to see you again, my joy and my crown, yeah. He's proud of them, in the right sense of the word, yeah. And so he's saying, you know, keep it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it up. Well, no boasting about your pedigree.
No.
Right? I'm a Heinz variety, 57.
Let's go back to what you said, being judged.
Oh, keeps getting this one wrong, yeah?
Well, with the Lord.
Yeah.
They're forgiven, our sins are forgiven.
Amen. Yes.
But there's that time when we know the Lord and go to death.
Yeah.
We should see Him, because it is said we should see Him and He'll judge us, sort of things. Will He judge us in that little piece?
No.
Or learn things about Him?
The past, when you become a Christian.
Well, that little bit when we know the Lord. You'll
suffer for it while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you do wrong now, there are consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes. But what I'm trying to get at is, when Jesus died on the cross,
yes,
I
get that.
Now you got this, yeah. When did He die? 2,000 years ago,
yeah.
Right. But when did He forgive your sins?
Okay.
When you came to faith in Him, and what happened 2,000 years ago was affecting the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because you haven't sinned 2,000 years ago because you weren't here. Yeah. So Jesus' death affects the past.
Yeah.
And it affects the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we come to Christ, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Forgiven.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's forgiven. And yet, while we're here in this world, He knows what you're going to do wrong. He knows our sins that we're going to do.
Yeah.
There will be consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah? There's no excuse for doing wrong. You'll find out it's painful.
Yeah.
Yeah? But it will still be forgiven.
they'll still be forgiven.
Yes.
I do wrong and I'll still forgive them.
Yes.
If you repent.
Yeah. Now that's interesting, yeah? You've got it.
Yeah.
You can do wrong and you're still forgiven. Mm-hmm. Paul writes about this in Romans.
Yes.
He talks about people say, he says, shall we sin then that grace may abound? If I'm forgiven for everything, I can do what I like.
No.
And Paul says, God forbid.
Yeah.
He says, don't you know, those of us that were joined to Jesus are joined to his death, so sin's dealt with, and we're joined to the risen Jesus, so we live in a new way.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. If you're God's child, you start showing that you are, and you behave like his child. You know, you look at your kid and say, that's one of wrongs.
You're a new creation.
You're a new creation, and you start to live the way God meant you to be, yeah? You got it?
Yes, yes.
Right, well that's what he's doing.
He does say in the Bible that we are judged when we go in.
We're judged.
Judged for what
he's saying. But then because of how we're living, it says, you know, if we recognise our sin that we do as we go along after we've turned
yeah.
Yeah.
And confess it, God is faithful and just and will forgive
us
our
sins. Yes.
And cleanse us from
all
unrighteousness.
That's 1 John chapter 1 there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we, it says, whoever who claims to be without sin deceives himself.
Yeah.
The truth's not in him.
Yeah.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, righteous, to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
He'll do that as we go to him. So that's the, in this world, before we meet the Lord, in this world, the ongoing process is, when we get an infection, you take the antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And the antibiotic is confess your sins to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cure it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's how to deal with sin in this time now. But I can assure you, at the end of time, our sins are forgiven because we believe that Jesus paid the price for them.
Yeah?
It's not that Jesus saved you up to the time you became a believer, so he's dealt with all that before he became a believer, and now you're on your own. It's no good.
No,
you're not on your own. Your sins need dealing with for the future as well as the past.
The old creation.
Yes.
And he said that to the woman of the world, didn't he?
Yeah.
That in all her sins, that he's done,
he's
done
no
more.
Yeah.
You know, you have to
do
the same thing again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he understands that. He's thinking about, what about the things I've made wrong and I've done wrong, and will they catch up with me somewhere along the line at the judgment?
Or even now, because we're not completely sinless.
No, we're not.
We try so hard to be,
yes.
But we may fail.
We will fail, guarantee it.
And then you think, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. You'll be judged for it. You'll be forgiven for it.
Yeah.
You'll still be judged for it.
Judged in the... What do you mean by judged then?
Well, when you...
When will you be... How are you judged?
Well, you're
judged to see which prize you get.
Yeah.
First, second or third.
No.
Yeah.
The judgment is for prizes, right? For the believer, the judgment is for prizes.
You're still judgment. You're still saved.
Yeah. We're still saved.
Yeah.
Yes. But what... Paul talks about, it's like 1 Corinthians a bit about, the day will expose it. If we've built with wood, hay and straw, rubbish, wrong stuff in our lives, it's going to be burnt away.
Mm.
That's the judgment in the sense, you've lost what reward you could have got, but you're still saved.
So in between that time of the old you and the new creation, new creation, you know you're doing wrong, you can go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness,
yes.
He'll forgive you.
Yeah, and you pick yourself up and carry on with him. The Lord's here to save us, not to condemn us.
Yeah.
And the devil will try to beat you. If I can show my old minister, he was a good man, and he said to me, he said, Dennis, he says, it's strange, you know, I'm in my study and I'm getting into the Word, and I hear this voice in my head, you ought to be visiting people. Right? And when I'm out visiting people, I hear this voice in my head, you should be studying the Word. well, there you are. It's not good, is it? Yeah? So you've got to know where the voices are coming from as well.
But
dear friends, God loves us. Mm. Jesus died to save us, and he's there to help us to live for God.
Yeah.
Yeah? Leave the consequences to him. He says it'll be alright if we trust him. We seek to please him, to trust him. He says, I'm not perfect, I haven't attained, but I'm forgetting what I've done behind, I'm going forward, looking for Jesus, Can't go wrong.
Don't walk in faith, run in faith.
Well, run as well, hell, if you can't run, that's in Bunyan's, well that's true, but in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, It's a fantastic book, you know. I'm so glad the Lord used that for me, yeah. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, towards the end of the journey, there's one called Little Weak Face, yeah. And they hobble along, yeah. And they get there. Didn't have a big faith, didn't accomplish any great things, but they got there. And the comment was something like, do you know, there's more glory comes to God by the weaklings getting there than the machos.
Yes, yes.
Because the weaklings proved they couldn't do it themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, defense.
You know what, I'll tell you, I don't know if it'll tell me off or not, but at the beginning with that, when I said I lift up my eyes,
Another example, I could go on that about this, but when the Israelites had sinned in the wilderness, they come out of Egypt, they sinned, and all those poisonous snakes were biting people.
Yeah.
Moses was told, make a bronze snake, stick it on a pole, and whoever looks to it, in other words, believes that it's going to help, whoever looks to that will be cured of the snake bites.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the old commentators say, you know, it's wonderful. You don't have to do anything. Anybody can look.
Yeah.
Anybody can look. It's not a matter of the highly qualified, athletic or anything else. Looking, trusting in what God's done will save them. Just as well, isn't it? Just as well. Anyway, well, there we are.
I'll say God loves to talk to you on the road. It was very good tonight.
Thank you.
I didn't know what you were doing.
Well, I never know what I'm doing to you. There's something there, isn't there? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your amazing, amazing word, your truth that's in it, Lord, that we unworthy, hell-deserving, sinful people can be loved, forgiven, accepted, and made children of the living God. Oh Lord, this is a wonder too far, as it were. And Lord, we realize, as your servant Paul said, Lord, we're not arrived, we're not perfect by any means, we know that, Lord, while we're here. But Lord, you hold that out as a prospect before us. One day we shall be perfect. If these bodies are going to be like Jesus' bodies, they're going to be perfect, Lord. If our spirits are going to be transformed by your Holy Spirit, Lord, it's going to be like Jesus' Spirit, pure and good. So Lord, thank you for the prospect. And while we're in the process, keep us from falling. Lord, help us to know how to stand against temptations. Help us by the Holy Spirit living in us to have the power to do what's right, Lord. And Lord, may we, while we enjoy the things of this world, not be taken up with them as worshippers and, Lord, absorbed by the stuff. But Lord, thank the giver. For you are the Lord that gives us so many good things. We bless and praise your wonderful name.
Yeah.
Amen.